I'd like to encourage you tonight to be turning to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, please. Acts 20 is where we'll begin in just a moment. We have a good crowd tonight. That's not essential, but that's good. And I'm glad that you've chosen to come and be with us. Several of you are our guests, and we're glad to have you. Sometimes we say you're our special guest, and you are. I think everybody's special, but for those of you who are not members here and yet you've chosen to come, we do thank you for that. We appreciate your attention to spiritual things, and we're glad that you feel like you can come and be with us tonight and gain something spiritual from our study. The section of Acts 20 that we're going to talk about tonight is the section that we commonly know as Paul's conversation with the elders from Ephesus at Miletus. Just a casual thinking about this seems interesting to me. It's the only place in Scripture where we have something like this recorded for us. There are statements that are made in Scripture about elders, about their responsibilities and qualifications and some things like that that we commonly are familiar with from 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. And there are references in Scripture about elders generally. But in terms of just a conversation between Paul and elders, this is the only conversation that we have. I don't know that that means a great deal. Other than, I think we can learn a lot from what he said to them and the exchange that he had. And really, it was really him talking to them. At least that's the part that Luke records for us. And I think we can divide it into what I consider three primary sections. And we're going to look at those in a moment. But I want to ask you a question for your consideration before we look at it. I want to ask you this. Why do you think he called for them? Because we're already told that in the first part of this third journey, he had spent 3 years there. And earlier on the second journey, he had spent a little time there and told them then on the second journey, I'm going to come back, and when I come back, I'm going to spend more time. And he had done that. He spent more time there than anywhere else on any of his journeys that we're aware of anyway. And yet when he comes back, what Luke records for us is something that happened as Paul is coming back, as he's trying to get to Jerusalem for Pentecost. He's trying to make his way there pretty quickly, and yet he thought it was important enough. And evidently the ship he was on did not go directly to Ephesus. That may have been because it may have been a private ship, it may have been a commercial ship, but the ship he was on was headed to Jerusalem, and he wanted to get there as quickly as he could. And whether or not it passed through Ephesus or not, it stopped at Miletus, and he called for the elders to come 30 miles to have this conversation with him. Now, 30 miles to us is not that big a deal. But 30 miles then was a little bit bigger deal. But Paul thought it was important, nonetheless, for him to meet with them. And as I said, this was toward the close of the third journey. And in a minute, as we read this, we're going to read it by section. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I want to read a section and talk about it and then read another section and do it that way rather than read the whole thing. I think it keeps our attention a little bit better. But as I read this, especially in the first section, I want you to notice the words which Paul uses that indicates that he thinks when he leaves them, he's not going to see them anymore. And this was at least the third time that he had seen these people. I believe that probably is the case. And yet he says, I'm making my way back to Jerusalem. And he said, I think I'm going to be imprisoned as a result. And I think he thought probably killed. And I think the Spirit had indicated that to him. I don't know what all the Spirit had divulged to Paul, but I think Paul knew that this would be his last time. And so he delivers this information to these men who are elders. And let me say before I talk about this that just by the fact that he did it and did it to them tells me how important the role of shepherding a flock is. to a church. You remember in Acts 14, at the close of the first journey, Paul and Barnabas returned to Iconium and Antioch. Antioch sat just northwest of where Iconium and Lystra and Derbe were. And Paul goes to those churches. Paul and Barnabas go, and then they return there. And when they return, chapter 14, let's just turn over there. Look at chapter 14, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 21. Notice what Luke says. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Let me just say, and most of you probably know this, but when you read in the book of Acts primarily about Antioch, you need to always make sure you know which Antioch we're talking about. There are two primary Antiochs in the New Testament, Antioch of Syria and Antioch of Pisidia. And you need to bear, this is Antioch of Pisidia. We just need to, for the sake of knowing where we're talking about, that's always, I think, an important thing. Verse 22 says, and when they were at these places, they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. What's interesting to me, at least one of the things about this that's interesting, is that on the same journey in which they made disciples, they came back through and appointed elders. And I think they appointed those elders probably because there were men who were grounded in not just what the apostles were teaching, but in what the Old Testament was about as well. So they knew about the Messiah, and obviously they accepted the message of the preaching of the gospel, even at a time when not many people did. But Paul and Barnabas went back through those areas, and I'm not exactly sure about the method of that, but the text tells us, Luke says, that they appointed churches, or appointed elders in those churches, in every church. And that was important. That's important for local churches to have. It's important for us. It's been important for this church for about as long as this church has existed. And possibly from the inception of this particular local church. I don't know all the history about that. But for the very large majority of time that this church has existed, there have been men who have served as elders. And that is critically important. And just as a statement that I think would be good to make, that I see it just from a personal observation here and everywhere else, how important that is. And I think it's sad sometimes that churches that have been in existence for so long do not have men who are qualified and who are not seen as those who would be leaders of local churches. And I'm thankful that we have those kind of men here. And I want to strongly encourage those who are younger, who are yet to serve, men to begin, and many of you have already begun that preparation, but to think about doing that and serving in that role. Now, that's not going to be your call necessarily, not exclusively. But certainly you must prepare yourself to fulfill that responsibility. And it is a very important responsibility. Why, if it weren't, would Paul and Barnabas on the same journey go back to those churches and say, we need to establish an eldership. We need to appoint men to serve in this capacity. And all that tells us how important this is. Well, let's look at the text in Acts 20. On this third journey, as I said, Paul calls for the elders. And they come about 30 miles. And section 1 begins in verse 17. From Miletus, Luke says, he sent, referring to Paul, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Well, initially, I think what Paul does here is he just reminds these elders of his time with them and what he did. This is his last address to them, as verses 22 and 23 say. So he reminds them, I think, of their important role. And he reminds them of what he has done. And if I may speculate just a little bit here, I'm thinking, why would he call for them and just them? Now, he may have called for elders in other churches to meet him in other places, but we don't know. This is what we have recorded for us. He called for them to come to Miletus. That tells me he thought it was pretty important. And so I'm going to suggest that part of that may be that they would have been men who carried great influence. Ephesus was one of the major cities in that part of the world. And having a local church there and having these men oversee that work would not extend their responsibility and would not extend in any kind of official kind of way their influence. They didn't have any influence officially in other churches because that's not the nature of an elder's work. Him being a shepherd is over the flock where he is. Peter would tell us that. Their responsibility is limited to that. And I think we must understand that. But he calls for them. And then after he explains to them the fact that he has called for them and why that's important and what he has done, he tells them, verse 20, I kept nothing back that was helpful and proclaimed it to you, taught you publicly and from house to house. He may be referring that he taught specifically the elders, or he may simply be saying, I taught you, meaning everybody who's in Ephesus, those who were brethren. But he said, that's what I did. That was my responsibility as a preacher. So he says, that's what I did. And then beginning in verse 27, he gets to what I think is the primary, if I may say it this way, the primary issue of him meeting with them. And again, I think it's a fair question to say, why would he call for them? Why would he have them come down? Why would he take the time and why would he have them take the time to come down? And so whatever the language is and whatever Luke records must be pretty important. So in verse 27, he says this, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Let me just say that I see that as my primary responsibility as a preacher here. I have to make sure, to whatever degree I can, that I declare the whole counsel of God. Sometimes that's expressing things that are not pleasant for me to talk about. Sometimes that may mean expressing things that are unpleasant for the world generally to hear. Sometimes that may be expressing things that are unpleasant for you to hear. But it is part of my responsibility to declare. That's the statement that's translated in other translations, to declare the whole counsel of God. And so that's a sobering, and we talk about the elders' responsibility to be sobering. I will tell you that that's equally sobering to me, to know that that's my responsibility toward you. And so he says that. And then in verse 28, he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. And then he goes on to say, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I don't know whether or not we have. My guess is, and I don't know, if everything that Luke records is everything that was said between Paul and the elders, then there wasn't a lot said. Now, there may have been other parts of the conversation that Luke does not record, but we know that he recorded this, and so this is important. And part of what he says, I think, in verse, or what he says specifically is, after he says, I've not shunned to declare you the whole gospel, and then he says, therefore, as a result of that, the fact that I have not shunned to declare it to you, what I'm reminding you of is to take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. I know he's reminding them because he'd already been with them 3 years. If he declared the whole counsel of God to them while he was there, then he talked about that. But I'm going to suggest to all of us tonight that their role was to shepherd the flock. That's the idea of tend. And that's also the idea of being tender. And specifically, as he talks about this, I think he's saying, you know, you need to be tender because there are going to be some tough situations. There are going to be some tough issues that you need to address. And he's going to talk to them about that. He says there are going to be